Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Musicians to come, not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known, arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You're joining a community of poets from across thousands of miles of mountains, desert, sea, and plain. You're joining us here from a studio just outside of Denver in Colorado. Welcome home. This is World Poetry Open Mic, November 2016, first edition. Smooth as always. We got to work out that thing at the end there. That hard stop always just makes me go. I'm Michael Amadei, one of your hosts, the other host here. And he's not just the other. He's also the technical producer and the person who keeps the wheels on the bus as I'm furiously trying to take them off as we're moving. Mr. JT Gunter, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Doing well. Did you have a good week off?
I did. I liked what we were doing on Wednesday.
Yeah. Some big stuff.
We didn't post it in the calendar, but I figured get a feel for it, and then next time we do this, something like that, we'll definitely put it in the calendar.
You know, I think that's a good idea. If you haven't noticed, we have a calendar on the main World Poetry Open Mic page now, where we're not only saying when we're doing the shows, we'll actually say when we're having our weekly meetings as well.
Yes.
We're all about transparency here. If we're ever funded by a large corporation, we will let you know.
Yeah.
We have just been bought completely by the Koch brothers. I'm a fan. No, I don't think that it would happen, actually.
Probably not.
One, because I don't think we could do it, but two, I don't think they're interested.
Probably not, yeah.
Well, tonight we're going to be featuring your poetry, your words, your work. There's a quick rule, and that is no hate speech. Someone actually asked me what happened to rule number two. Dennis had posted that, and I forgot to respond to him.
Okay.
So I figure I'll just do this openly.
Okay.
The reason we removed the idea of rule number two, which was no F-bombs, is one, it rarely is happening.
That's true.
Right? In which we appreciate. We don't, I mean, if it's something got over the top, we would totally pull it.
Right.
The second rule is we're not on terrestrial radio. And that was the entire reason the rule was put there in the first place, was that we couldn't have it on the air at the first station we went to.
Yeah.
And also, you know, that was something that J-Todd just really had a hard line about.
Yeah.
It's, you know, of course, if it's excessive, we'll pull it back. But if it's used as part of the work sparingly,
yeah,
then it's not so bad. But then again, we'll see how it goes. And we can always put it back in.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the thought. So we just wanted to kind of free it up for the art itself. Because otherwise, we're just going to be dumping people occasionally, and I don't like that idea. So let's just quickly look into news. I could go through poetry news. There's so much news going on right now. You know, there's the election next week, U.S. election. And, but bigger news.
I was going to say, all I have to say about the election is make sure you vote. If you're in the States, please go out and vote. Whichever way you want it to go, vote.
That's it.
Okay.
And
done.
I think the only thing I will say is that, yeah, the elections are next week. But super pumped, the Cubs won the World Series.
Amen.
And if the Cubs can win the World Series, Anything is possible.
We got our Nike shoes that lace themselves this year.
That's true.
And the Cubs won the World Series. So Back to the Future 2 is only 1 year off.
And one thing that I don't know if you know about, JT.
Flying cars,
well, we have solar roof panels now.
Yep.
And the thing that I'm not sure you don't know about, Hershey's and a 3D printing company have a co-partnership. They have actually been able to 3D print chocolate. So the work is to actually, they're working on having a 3D printer where you order the ingredients of the food that is then made and right into your home.
Wonka Vision.
It's going to happen.
Awesome.
Well, and it won't just be chocolate. You know that. So
yeah, I know.
I'm excited about this because if could be sitting in the studio and I could just be like, I want some nachos, and they just appear. The quietest food for the radio.
Yeah, just what
oh,
we
yeah,
need.
Oh, yeah, sure. This is great. Oh, that jalapeno's hot. That's exactly what we need.
Yes.
So I'm actually looking forward to that. Solar-powered nachos appearing out of nowhere.
Be awesome.
Be a great album title, by the way.
Yes.
All right. So without any further ado, let's go into our first segment. Tonight is an After Dark night, which means at the end of the proper show, we'll do a hard, no pun intended, a hard cut.
Yeah.
And so the show proper will be over, and then we'll be doing the After Dark section, which is just more, you know, adult-themed poetry or Blue Note poetry.
Yeah.
But let's just get into the first segment right now.
All right.
The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. So speaking of the election.
Yeah?
Horrifying. I thought, to me, it was very appropriate. It was around, it was the week after
it
Halloween.
It worked.
It's kind of like reminded me of Ernest Scared Stupid, just on a global scale.
Ooh.
All right. Anyway, so, you know, one thing I realized this last, you know, when we went, so last week, we went to a kind of a startup, kind of CEO meetup thing.
Yeah.
Instead of doing our normal meeting. And we met a couple people who've really done some high-end stuff who might be able to help us kind of grow the show in the future, which is really cool. But you know what I noticed it's really about? It's about making deals.
Okay.
And I really wish that there was a book out there talking about the technique or the like maybe the art of doing these kinds of things. I don't know even what you'd call it or where to find a book like that.
I don't know. I might be able to find one for you.
You think so?
Yeah. If you really want it, I might be able to find one.
Okay. And just make sure that if you do find it, maybe there's a part in the back about hair pieces. All right. Moving on.
Got it.
So let's, before we go to a caller, though.
Oh, yes.
We have a submission.
Yes, we do.
From a wonderful friend of the show, someone we've been in touch with for quite a while, and I think he's going to help us pull off our cool arbitrage next year for Posick.
Good.
But I don't want to spill the beans about that yet. I don't even have beans to spill.
I was going to say.
It's like, why spill the beans? Of all the terms you could say, I don't want to drop the crumpets. Like, I don't know. I mean, you can say anything. All right. And this is a submission from Nadwan Rosetta in Iraq. This is Sonnet 13, In Quest of Love. O love, how mysterious you move. Not God at all, you would favor everyone, but always damns my soul. Even so, I had never ignored a call you made and looked for you across every ball and across all of that hall. You would always let me fall or build me a Berlin wall. While I am always ready to meet you, you prefer to turn your face. And with that, you always close the case. You would think that hate would be my next sanctuary, but you had to forget that you are my temple. And that was written on the 4th of November at 11:38 a.m. And this is from his second divan, Belle de la Faculty. That was from Nadwan, In Quest of Love, Sonnet number 13. Nadwan, thank you for submitting. If you are listening and you would like to submit poetry to be read, hopefully better than that, send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or just drop it in the contact form on our site, and you'll get it there.
Yep.
All right. Now let's go to the callers. So, first up, our longest time supporter, more than just a poet, more than just a caller. He's World Poetry Open Mic family that we respect very much. All the way from the Mitten State, which is soon to be the Mitten State, I'm sure, this year. It is Dennis. Hello, sir.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic. It's Friday night.
That's right, and we're back. That week off always messes with me.
Yes, me too. I have withdrawals. I have shakes. I have a little tick.
You know, it's funny. I had all of that, but because it was Halloween, everybody thought I was just acting. So I was.
It worked then.
I had a black hoodie on, and I was walking around with the staff and yelling at people, and they thought, oh, it's just Halloween. I thought, no, it's withdrawal.
Yes, but we are back.
We are so very back. All right. So,
yes.
So how's everything with you? What do you have for us?
Well, I would like to share with you tonight a poem of a dear friend and poet from Michigan that just recently passed away on October 26th. Hmm. He was a mentor of mine. He certainly provided me the encouragement, and he led me in my earlier walk as a poet. And what a tragic loss it is, but his words live on, and the many books that he wrote are still with us. The name of the poet is Pietro Di Giorgio, and I would like to share with you one of his poems, and the title of the poem is Terminus of an Iroquois. Who will speak for me when I have only a handful of moons in my basket? This is the record of my birth and death, the good and lean years, making my life one bead in a long string of beads that tells the story of my people, displayed in the longhouse of my mind. Male and female converge for continuation, for the spilling forth of life, the urge to live not only for myself, but for my people, is strong in all my thoughts. This vision makes my existence sensible. The harvest of generations will sustain me in this beauty I call home, for the great spirit of life calls me to bring together these materials that will pass into the earth. I leave them for you to read after the hunt, when fires warm your thoughts, or in age, you shall think of the gathering of your own terminus for others to consider in the passing suns of existence, when we have tired of wrestling death to the ground, wander into the forest to surrender life in peace. End of poem. And that is a poem by Pietro Di Giorgio.
Wow. That was an intense piece. What do you think, JT?
He was an intense poet.
Yeah.
He had a theatrical background, and his presentations were just so captivating. And he just drew people in with his words.
Wow.
And what a great encourager of poetry and spoken word art. And I owe him a lot, and I'd just like to acknowledge his passing, but even more his life and his words.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis, thanks for sharing that with us, and thank you for introducing us to his work.
Well, yes, and I hope you're able to find some of his work someplace, and I know if you do, it will be appreciated.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dennis. Always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, and I'll say God bless and move on and let the next poet step up to the mic.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Now, that was Dennis calling from the state a la Mittens, as they refer to it. I think that's how they don't even think they say Michigan in Michigan. They just say state a la Mittens. Don't they?
You know, honestly, I don't know.
I don't know what planet that came from, but, okay. You know, it's also possible. I mean, why wouldn't you do things like that?
Because it's silly and fun, I guess, maybe.
It's whimsical, which we all know. Government loves whimsy. All right. Let's go to another great poet out of Michigan.
Loves whimsy. All right.
Chris. Chris, how are you, sir?
I say Michigan.
I figured.
Good.
How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. Did you have a good week off the show?
It was an interesting week, but you know, it's election time.
Yeah,
that's
I know
truth.
You guys have got the world is your oyster here. But here in the United States, yeah, it's election time, and there are Republicans and there are Democrats, yeah. And it's an interesting time.
That's a very positive and neutral way to say it. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Well, you got to be positive because we get to actually vote.
Yes.
We don't always enjoy who we get to vote for, but at least we get to vote.
Yep.
And a lot of places don't.
Yeah, that's very true.
Very true.
Agreed.
We are stronger together, mm-hmm. and we can make America great again.
Yep.
They're big words, they're real words, but in the end, they're an impassioned plea to rise above where we find ourselves yesterday, today, and perhaps even tomorrow.
Sure.
It's important that we vote, and we vote our conscience, and it doesn't matter that, you know, your candidate's Hillary or Trump or Stein or anybody else. It's important because you have a voice, and at least we get the chance to use our voice.
Yes.
So I hope everybody that's out there, regardless of who your candidate is, regardless of what your beliefs may be, go to the polls and actually express yourself, because that's what makes America what it is. We can. We don't have to agree, but we can express ourselves, and that's what the 8th is so important for. So I hope everybody here in the U.S., makes a stop and expresses their thought. Now, getting back to where we're at here, I've got an old poem I want to bring up. My printer's on the Fritz, I want to say, although I'm not German, but... It works when it wants to now, which is a pain, rather than when I want it to. So I'm having to read from a screen on this one. So bear with me, if you don't mind. You know, we have so many thoughts, thoughts that flow and stream through our consciousness. Some are thoughts that we hold tightly, lest they might escape our grasp and thence somehow lessen our lives. Some are thoughts that are memories of thens and wish they were nows. They could have been. Our minds have so many rooms, the doors to which are both sometimes open and, well, sometimes not. And yet some other rooms are often so locked by choice that not even we can enter and touch the echoes held within. Each room has its own shades of meanings, a mix and a swirl of colors often painted with hope brushes. You know the hope brushes. Brushes shaped and formed by minds and thoughts and dreams. And, well, sometimes the base is tears. And others, it's the blood leaked from eyes so aware, so very aware. A room of many colors. I walked within my mind, paused, stood and held my breath, listened. The walls flowed silently, one into the other, into another, into now. A room of many colors, the taste of life. Its air enclosure turned inward and crystalline roses glowing in the morning sun, misting coffee dyes. Silent reflections carry the warmth to shadows, pausing on the shore. Sometimes we need to dream, though not to replace thens with nows. Sometimes that smile doesn't haunt. Sometimes it is the special closeness we feel leaking out to reality, the only way we know how to let it. Yeah, rooms of many colors, and sometimes even of hell. We just aren't always as innocent as we believe ourselves to be, with ourselves to be, nor as guilty as anyone thinks we are. Anyway, the end.
Love it. Sometimes it's best just not to make many comments and just kind of sit back and say thank you.
Well, sometimes that's all you can do. I mean, the beauty of what we do is we get people listening, and then they have their own thought flow that whispers behind their eyes. Yeah. And that counts. That's where your voice is.
Does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to hearing some other people tonight, and Dennis with his cover was great, and I can't say any more than that for Dennis, because that's the way it is. It was a great cover, a good choice, and important words.
Absolutely.
And overall, don't forget to get out there and vote Tuesday.
Hey, we'll do it.
We'll do it.
Yeah. I know I'll do it.
Well, there you go. We may not be right, but we may not be wrong.
That's great. That's right. All right. Hey, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
You take care, guys.
Yeah, you too.
Be safe.
You too. And that was Chris, once again, from Michigan. Michigan's bringing the thunder at the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Man. So I hope, Mary, we're going to be going to Mary now in Arizona. Mary, your climate is much warmer than Michigan, but the poetry's pretty intense up there. So you got something to stand up to.
Oh, come on now! I'm not worried about Michigan. I'm not worried about nothing. I'm not worried about any of that northern stuff.
That's
anymore.
It. Not anymore. I love the Muhammad Ali, Mary. You're like, I'm the greatest.
I'm just a butterfly. That's I'm right. just a butterfly boy.
How are you?
Oh, you know, I found out I was getting about a fifth to a sixth of what I ever dreamt I might get someday when I left with nothing. So I'm trying to accept that and move on. And I signed a lease at this little Motel 6 place that I live for another year. Okay. And on we go. On we go.
On we go. Well, we're right here with you. You know, we'll be here to help inspire you and lift you up if you need it, okay?
Oh, come on now. I know that. I already knew that before I even thought about it.
I actually lift weights to practice lifting. No, I'm kidding. I'm being ridiculous now.
Oh, save it for the after dark. Save it for the after dark.
And I'm lifting weights next on After Dark. No.
I will take that image forward. I'm doing a song by the Traveling Wilburys today.
All right.
I had never done this one before. I didn't know the name of it. You know what I really delight in when someone asks for a song, and I kind of fret a little bit because I don't recognize the title, and I always like to see someone. So I'll listen to it, and then I know the song, and I love that. So this is one of those. Go take your bathroom break or just, you know, chill out. Here we go.
Hear them
damn keyboard.
Hey,
you know,
I get
the
it.
Damn keyboard. You want to do a big ending, splash ending, and you run out of room, and then you just go. Dut, 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 dut.
Mary, you have no idea. I spend most of my week at a piano. Trust me.
Oh, then you know.
Oh, I do know. Of course I know. Yeah.
You know, I'll be in your lap. No, never mind. On to the next one.
All right. Hey, Mary, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure hearing you play for us, and it's just always great connecting with you on Fridays. Thank you.
So lovely. Thank you, guys. I'll listen to the next one. Bye.
All right.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Mary in Arizona. The only state where I have gone into a really good Tex-Mex kind of fast food place, a really good green chili there, but then went into the urinal and actually had myself attacked by a cockroach that was on the urinal. Arizona. Okay, so,
wow.
Well, I got to be honest. I like the weather in Arizona. I had a hard time with the people I met in Arizona. I don't know what it was. Maybe okay. it just wasn't my scene.
Probably not.
You know?
Yeah, I could.
It was weird. It was strange.
Did you go to Flagstaff?
No, I didn't go to Flagstaff. I collectively just didn't get along with Arizona.
Ah, okay.
Although I've heard Sedona's very weird.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'd be good there.
You might.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. You know where someplace I know where I would get along with people?
Yeah.
Kentucky. That's just my personality all over, mostly because of the enamel bathtubs. But the chicken, I've heard, is also really good. Philip, how are you?
I am well, sir. I am. And it's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours as well. It's been a while.
I know. It has. I kind of get lost. My days and nights get all flip-flopped and, you know, doing too much working, I suppose.
I understand. That's what happens. You know, I basically figured it out. The reason you weren't here, and I got your response, and I thank you for doing that. We wanted to make sure you were okay, but you turn into a werewolf, don't you? That's what happens.
Very good. You're the first one to have ever guessed that correctly, sir.
See?
And, right?
I'm good at it.
Just, you know, don't tell me about any silver bullets unless it's a Coors Light or something.
Hey,
I don't even think that's funny, but,
you know, we're yes, like sir. 20 minutes from the Coors factory right here. So.
I figured, right? Okay, yeah, because it is a Colorado beer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And they don't let anybody forget it, too. Anywhere you turn, it's one of the Coors going, remember, we're here. It's like, okay, yeah, we remember.
I was just thinking, because, you know, I'm not a very political person, and everybody's all in an uproar about, whoever's running. I don't really know who's running.
Good for you.
Some man and some woman, I don't know. But I think, you know, the most important people on television are the ones to get to drink water. You know, when they have a pitcher and a glass, any of those people, those are the ones you want to keep an eye on. The ones that are sitting in front of a podium and a microphone, they're just puppets. Watch out for the ones that have a big jug of water and a glass. Those are the important ones.
You
they have the power. So
you know what, man?
Huh.
You know who's even more powerful is the ones who wear those camel backpacks. if you ever see a guy in a suit with a camel backpack, you're like, that is a man who doesn't have to prove anything to anybody.
Or a guy that gets to wear, you know, Converse sneakers or something like that. And, the arty kind of guy, in the background.
He's like, I don't even care what people think of my shoes.
Well, I will get to it. It's good to be back. Thank you so much for having a little concern. It is nice to be missed. That really means a lot to me. I'm really not very well adjusted to things called friends. You know, I kind of started losing them when I was in middle school and, you know, before that. So this is all new to me, being social and whatnot. So that's why I'm a poet, right?
You know what? We don't write poetry because we're happy, well-adjusted people.
Right? Well, I have a short one, and I'll get it out of the way and give the mic to somebody more deserving. So here we go. This is one of them Phillips sonnets, I would say. Anything that has 14 lines in Phillips' world is a sonnet. So
or a title.
Here's the title, a short title. The title is Meager Preparations for Tomorrow. Meager Preparations for Tomorrow. Here we go. No thoughts any longer. Last words leaving my wherewithal. A vacancy echoed in the skull. Waves lapped upon unseen shores. Scent of brine imagined. Experiences dwindled into meaninglessness. Eyes that have become bleary spectators. The voice relinquished for trustworthy silence. Adrift upon flotsam noise and undulant entropy unceasing.
consciousness born of strange matter, reflexively investigating itself. Sepia tone sunset ships set sail beneath horizons in a bottle. And there it is, my friends.
That was a bit short for you there, man.
Yeah, I know, right? You were like, where's the rest of it?
I know. JT stood up and spit out coffee. We're like, we got
some. he's still not blathering what's happened, you know? Right?
I was in the middle of Downward Dog doing some yoga listening to this.
Right. You're playing Angry Birds. When's this guy going to shut up?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
I appreciate it. No, good. It's good to have somebody who can, you know, I'm pretty tough, so no worries. I think it's good humor, good fun.
Oh, no, we
enjoy
it.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to the return engagement, I suppose. But I hope we have another segment, too. So
hopefully we will, and if we don't, we'll go to return engagement, and then we're going to go to After Dark. So.
After Dark. All right. Good deal. Cheers. I appreciate it. Good to be back.
Yeah. All right. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Philip.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye. And that was Philip all the way from Kentucky, the state where chicken is not safe.
Just stick to it, man.
That could be a future book. Michael Amade insults the 50 states. It's like it'd be a 365-page book, so every day you could look and find a new insult for the state. Mm. Yeah, see?
Might have to work on that one.
You know, like Missouri could be the put that thing away state.
just that.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, let's go all the way to Pennsylvania. And Jim. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. I know I'm a little bit loopy tonight, apparently, but I didn't know that until we were on the air, so too bad.
Well, I'm always loopy. Right, Danielle?
Yeah.
Yes, she agrees with me.
Oh, okay. For a second, I was like, wait, is that a cat? Oh, no, Danielle. Okay. When I heard a woman's voice, I'm like, oh, okay. All right, good. All right, so
I tried talking to myself, but I refused to answer me.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not talking with yourself now?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm giving myself a silent treatment.
Hey, you know, I've done that before. Like, I'm not even talking to you right now. Don't look at me in the mirror. All right. So what do you have for us?
It's one that I wrote back in August. It was after a thunderstorm. So. Oh, sorry, computer.
It's okay.
It's titled The Thunderstorm and How It Was Never Seen. Hammer and bolts clash into clouds. The son of Kronos at war with Thursday. As the mere mortals of Midgard and Greece stand in awe at this scene, knowing that in the end, their god would win the day. End of poem. Sorry.
Nice.
Yeah, I had seen a thunderstorm and said, wait a minute, you know, the Greeks would have attributed that to Zeus.
Right, yep.
And the Norse would have attributed it to Thor. And I'm thinking, it's like, okay, it's like, just wanted to be a little cryptic, but, you know, still kept the idea of it. Because as we all know that, the Thor today, Thursday, was named after Thor.
Yep.
So it's. Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday
is Odin.
Sorry?
That's right. And Wednesday is Odin.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah, we owe the days of the day, most of the days of the week to the Norse.
Yep.
And the months to the Romans.
Yeah.
That's right.
That one's Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
And, of course, I was thinking is that because the Greeks never met the Norse, they would have never have seen it that way, a thunderstorm that way,
true.
As a war between the two of them. Yeah.
That's true. It was when the Romans just suddenly, and it was something I heard mentioned on one of my favorite podcasts of all time, which I will consistently and never failingly promote, which is Hardcore History with Dan Carlin. Fantastic podcast. But he was talking about how you can actually see records when the Roman military just bumped into the Norse civilization. They didn't even know it was there. You know, that's one of the few times you can run into an entire civilization and just their descriptions of what they were like. Such a fascinating, fascinating culture.
Did they even get that far north?
They did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they did.
Because I know they were in the Rhineland. They were in France, and they made it to England.
Yep.
But yeah. I didn't know if they made it up to Scandinavia.
They did, and they also went to Ireland, and the Irish scared the hell out of them, so they left. That's actually
the truth.
So, but yeah, anyway, Jim, if you have time, go look up Hardcore History, Dan Carlin. They're free to download, and they're incredible, and they're really worth it, that's a recommendation. So there you go.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jim. Appreciate the work, man. And will we be hearing from you in the return engagement?
So kind of a crapshoot. I don't know. So.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's not crap, but, you know, hey, we can give it a shot.
No, I think that's a toilet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania, where most of M. Night Shyamalan's films take place.
Yes. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Last night, The Happening was on.
Was it really?
Right when I was going
that's
to
like
bed.
It's the worst title for a movie ever, though. Something Happened.
Yeah.
And here's the movie.
Right.
I told you my theory on that film, right?
I think so.
Because that was the one where... So I'm a closeted M. Night Shyamalan fan. JT's eyes get really big for a second. No, I am. I mean, I don't like some of the newer stuff he's done, but I think he did some really insightful, beautiful work before. And he had really taken a huge, no pun intended, bath with Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
And was to the point where he couldn't really get money to make a movie again. So he agreed to do a rated R horror movie to try to get, you know, to try to have a hit. And there's a scene in the middle of the movie where it switches to point of view of one of the kids and they're in that model house.
Mm, yeah.
And someone's picking, it's the only time it goes to point of view in the entire movie. And someone picks up some of the fruit and goes, look, it's all fake. And then puts the plastic fruit and then it switches back to the rest of the movie. And I was wondering, why do they even have that in the film? Unless it was like a message just like, I'm just doing this to get back to where I can make films.
Oh.
You know, and he's actually, since then, he started having big hits again.
That's good.
So
that's good.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, that's enough of me blabbering. Now, I am going to... I have something I have to say really quick before I do this next part.
Okay.
So I think we're running into some issues with our Poet of the Month email list. So if you could, if you're listening to the show, if the copy or if the email that I sent out last weekend went through, awesome. If it didn't, could you send me a message at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com and let me know it didn't go through, because I'm trying to figure out what the issue is. I think I know what the solution might be, but I'm just trying to figure out who got it and who didn't, because some people apparently didn't get it.
Hmm.
But I'm going to start teasing our next one for this month. Sound okay. Cool?
Done yeah.
Good? All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So here are two quick clues. One, the Poet of the Month wrote poetry, but also is better known for prose. And at one point had written two different books and had wanted to release them separately, but the publisher said, I'm only releasing one of your books. So he took the cover off one of them and pushed them together and said, this is my book. Number two, there's a quote, the soul is healed by being with children.
Mm.
And I agree with that.
Okay.
And so those are your hints for the November Poet of the Month, who's also born in November. His birthday celebrated.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So now we're going to go to segment number two. We need five unique callers who have not called in yet. 720-240-9766.
That number one more time, 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. You know, I realized that when I was a child, you know, I did have friends.
You thought
things.
Like a child and you had, oh, wait, sorry.
I still kind of do that sometimes. I hang around way more children than I do adults nowadays.
Yeah.
About 300 some of them.
Woo! It's a busy day.
A week. Yeah. Well,
or a week,
a day,
excuse
a week,
me.
A week. Week. Yeah. But when I was a child, I never had imaginary friends that I acted like were real with me. But I was always kind of doing stories and you know, things like that, as you do, right?
Yep.
And I've realized, and I don't know if it's just my perception has changed or if it really was this way, but I really feel like, you know, there's a lot of great people in the world and interesting people, and I'm very happy to be friends with everyone, but was it just me or what, are things just way cooler when you're a kid?
You know, I think things are way cooler when you're a kid.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because you're still exploring.
And you haven't been exposed to it. You don't understand what the hype machine is like.
Yeah.
Like seeing kids, you can see every week or every couple weeks, you can see what new movie is targeting kids because they're all about a movie for 2 weeks. All of them are. They're
okay.
All excited. And then they all see it and then they don't talk about it anymore. And a few weeks later, here comes the new movie and they're all mm-hmm. excited about it. You see these waves come through. And they're all still so excited. And I'm like, you know, that's awesome. I wish I could get that excited about a movie again.
Yeah.
Doesn't really happen, though. You know? Anyway, I'm just kind of...
No, it's okay.
Waxing poetic. But hell, I guess if you can't do it here, where can you do it?
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to go to a submission here by a longtime, longtime supporter and poet, Mr. Steve Junka. This is called Went to the Nom. Went to the Nom, I was just a young boy. Went to the Nom, I was still filled with joy. Went to the Nom, all my training had passed. Went to the Nom, we had to grow up real fast. Went to the Nom, every day's like the rest. Went to the Nom, staying alive, the only test. Went to the Nom, the year's nearly done. Went to the Nom, yet neither side really won. All right, so that was Went to the Nom. Every week he does something that seems like he finds, he could even be talking about the exact same subject, and it's done in this repetitive way. And it's just really effective, and it's still effective these years later. Steve Junka, that was Went to the Nom. Steve, thank you for sending stuff in. Please never stop. And by the way, I do want to issue a challenge to all the poets listening to the show. This next Friday.
Yes.
Is Veterans Day.
Yes, it is.
I would invite you, if you can, to either get a veteran to call in and share something, or maybe if they have written work, have them share it with you know, us. I'll read it. Or if you want to cover a veteran talking about their experiences, I think that's really valuable. And I think that Steve, last time we had a show, had mentioned that he was trying, you know, that it's really important for veterans to write this work.
Yes.
And I really agree. So if there's any way that you can help, you know, help some veterans' poetry see the light of day or the dark of night, as it were, then bring it to the show next week. That would be a challenge I'm going to issue for everyone. All right.
Good.
So thank you, Steve. Now we're going to go to the natural conclusion after a Steve poem. We're going to go directly to Lorraine in New York. Lorraine, how are you?
Well, hello. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You know, I'm floating on a wave of good intentions.
Well, you know, I was wondering how your trick-or-treat went.
Well... You know, I got to be honest, it's a little strange when a grown man goes and knocks on a door and asks if you have any candy, specifically when you do it on the wrong night of the year, which I did by accident. So it didn't go well. I was threatened. I was shot at a few times. But then again, this is America. So, you know, this
is
what...
Too many Kit Kats are left because send them over.
Yeah, I know. That would be great.
Them. And Reese's Pieces and blood.
You know, I like when I do a diet cheat day and I go to a movie theater, JT.
Yeah.
Popcorn, yes. Soda. I still get diet soda.
Yeah.
Soda, but then I get Reese's Pieces too.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I love it. I love it.
That's it.
I wrote this small thing while I was waiting for about eight people, and I think it was a total of 8 to 10. You know, trick-or-treaters that came to the door, and they were definitely from last year. I mean, it was you know, maybe 12, and tonight it was a lot more, last night. It was a lot less, I should say, and it just it made oh God, I can't even talk. This is awful. It made a thing that the people that just weren't coming, and I think that they're probably smarter. You know,
you think they're smarter? That's not why they're trick or treating.
They're smarter. They're more scared.
I don't know if scared is smarter, Lorraine. Scared usually leads to stupid decisions.
I don't know if scared is smarter either. Yeah. You know, I don't know if scared is smarter either. I think that it's one of those things that people just give in to, and I think that the world is changing, and I'm very sad about that. You know that that it's changing, for whatever the reason is. But anyhow, I took about 2 minutes and I wrote this, and it's called Halloween. A doorbell rang. I faked a shriek. Three small voices shouted trick or treat. I peeped through the shade. I was impressed. A zombie and Snow Queen were at my address. While Igor and Frankenstein also appeared, a devil smiled sweetly at a gnome with a beard. I opened my door, bags of candy in hand. A lady, much older, barked this command: only take one and say thank you. Be polite. We have other houses to visit tonight. So that's my whole life. Halloween
I like it.
Poem.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Not bad, huh?
Hey, not bad. You know, I will say the I saw a lot of great, a lot of great costumes this year.
Okay.
The thing
did
that I
you?
Really
did
I did
you?
Well, at, you know, I teaching at a school, teaching at a school is great because they actually in the school where I teach, they actually still let them celebrate Halloween, so all the children get in the afternoon get to dress in their costumes and do a parade through the school,
and
so everybody can
see. It's a great holiday, you know.
It's fun.
I hate it because it has no, you know, I was raised Catholic, and, you know, it's the day before All Saints Day and, you know, All Souls Day or whatever it is. And I never, ever really gave it any credence. But now I see that it has something that has, you know, there's something that's in it that has to do with holidays and people and
well, I think
soul.
I think our holidays really represent aspects of our personality, and I think that
I think so too.
And we go at Halloween in a playful way, but you know, fear and violence is a very real thing in the human experience.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just like we have love, we have violence. Just like we have day, we have night. And I think that All Saints Day, followed by All Souls Day, Lorraine.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
This is the Catholic school teacher getting all uppity here.
I'm listening.
No, but I mean, I think, you know, Halloween in itself, it's, you can also shift it and not have it be about fear, but it can be about the fun of characters or things like that. And I think it shifts to that. You know, I know I have friends who make,
you're right. It goes one way or the other. And you know, if you think in a positive way, then you have a positive aspect of it. And if you don't, then you don't have a positive aspect. And it's really a kind of, I don't know. I feel that sometimes the holidays are you know oh God,
I know, I understand what you're saying, Lorraine.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's just too, yeah, you know, it's too this way or too that way, and then you wind up winding up with something that isn't really anything meaningful, and I really feel sometimes that you know, we should just go over them and pass them through and you know, not believe whatever they are. You know, Christmas is wonderful. You know, New Year's is terrific. But then again, you know, like the Cubbies one, and there's there's millions of people, you know, out in yeah. Chicago, and I'm saying, you know, this is terrific. But, you know, by the same token, it's still a holiday that belongs to them. And, you know, I don't know. I don't
sure.
know.
Well, Lorraine, I think that makes sense. Hey, thanks so much for your work, though. We need to. Hey. I have other poets on the line here waiting for us, so we should probably
okay,
get going.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. And thank you so much for calling, and
of
I
course.
Will.
No problem.
I will write you.
Okay. Sounds
all
good.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Lorraine.
All right. Take care now.
All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Lorraine weighing in on poetry, Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving. She didn't say anything about Easter, though. Now I'm kind of concerned what she thinks.
Well, no.
So, we always love having Lorraine
yes,
on the show. It's
absolutely.
Great. So now we're going to go down to the sweaty long thing on the end of the country. What? It's called Florida. Diane, how are you?
I am here. I'm here, gentlemen. And, oh, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. So you said, you know, I know that this week's been pretty trying on a lot of people. How are you doing?
I am okay. I've had a really, really rough week here in Florida.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Has there been anything that's made you laugh this evening? Has Philip made you laugh with his antics in the chat room?
Of course Philip has. So is Margo. So is Mary. So is Dennis.
Wonderful.
And my Titus is back here, too. So we are good.
That's awesome. Wonderful.
Okay.
All right.
I have some news to share, and I hope it's okay to share it on here.
Of course
here.
It is.
It has to do with the poem that I'm going to read. I have left Poem Kabili, started a new publication and group on Facebook.
Okay.
It is called The Garden of Poetry and Pose. Forgive me. I was out on a date earlier tonight, and it's been a week from hell with work.
Okay.
So forgive me if I'm kind of skipping over words here. It is called The Garden of Poetry and Prose. Titus is with us. So is Philip. So is Barbara. I'm hoping to entice other people to join us.
Wonderful.
We're kind of operating on the same principles, but we're also adding some extra things. And so anyway, the poem that I would like to read has to do with our opening, which will be on Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay. It is called The Key to the Garden. In the garden of the memory of a place we've lived before, is heard the beating of the hearts that are echoes in my soul. In the journeys of our lifetimes amidst the death of many truths, there are whispers from the shadows that are lurking at the roots of what we term creation in the times we think is past, that are really from the future, from the bones that have been cast. In the nighttime of our yearning from the devil child's song, we are calling to creation for a healing touch at last. As we lift the mighty apron cast by Lucifer in shame, we will surely stain our aprons with the devil's mighty pain. But when the parts are what, forgive me, but when the parts of what is whole finally cleave to do what's right, then the air again will tremble with creation's true delight. And the gates will finally open from the darkness and despair that have troubled all the gardens that are hiding in the air. The way it is, the way it was, the way that it should be. Always hiding in the shadows to the kingdom is a key. And may I share the last part of this? The Garden of Poetry and Prose will have its first publication available to read on November 8th. Before then, take a stroll through the Garden of Poetry and Prose to see our first prompts. And once we publish, please join us in reading the beautiful and lovely poetry and prose that will be collected from our members and guests.
Wonderful.
And that's my news.
Now, Diane, I have two things. One, actually three things. One, thank you for calling and sharing, even though you've had a rough week. Really appreciate it. Second of all, send us an email or send me a message on Facebook or whatever. I want to learn about what you're doing and see if there's any way we can help, you know, you promote or whatever.
I would love that, especially because we have, you know, several ongoing and good WPOM people that are contributing every week. And there are others that I think will join us. In fact, if it's okay, what I'll do is send you all some messages. JT, I'm so very sorry I haven't friended you on there yet. I didn't know your last name.
That's okay.
It's okay. JT is a little. He's not really active on Facebook. He's there, but he doesn't really do anything. So
no, and I understand that. That's one reason I figured when I put in JT, there's only so many things that come back, and I never recognized any of them.
JT is the NSA of Facebook. He just sits back and watches you.
It's kind of true.
What is this about you being the PJ instead of the DJ?
Well, that's what I was thinking. So a disc jockey is someone who plays discs, right? And so if I mean, since I'm not really choosing the music, JT chooses the music for every show.
Oh, yeah.
And
cool.
so he's more the DJ.
You do an excellent
job. Yeah, I'm just a jackass with a microphone. So
no, wait, that's not a PJ.
J A W A M. Was it J A W A?
Let us get our abbreviations correct.
Yes. God forbid we mess up an abbreviation. No, please send me a message on that. And then the one question I have before we let you go, is this a date with the same guy you've been on dates with in the past?
Maybe.
Ooh. All right, I see. Okay.
All right.
Stay tuned for the next thrilling conclusion next week. Diane.
Let me add something to that. And maybe not.
Oh.
Oh.
You saucy minx. All right. Diane, we'll talk to you during the return engagement. All right.
Love you, Paul. We'll be listening.
Talk to you later. Bye. And that was Diane from Florida, just back from another one of her famous dates, and sharing some great poetry and some news about a new publishing venture. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's go to the overflowing garden state. It is Marcos. Marcos, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for being patient and waiting for us.
Oh, I appreciate the privilege.
Hey, no problem. We're happy to have you.
Thanks. Yeah. I didn't think that politics would come up at all, so I wasn't really, it kind of took me by surprise in this, you know, format of a show, but I was glad it did because I was an apolitical person a couple of years ago, and then I started doing my homework, and you know, it just was very eye-opening. And it's funny, for this election cycle, I totally ignored everything. So I was not feeling it, you know.
Yeah.
And like a couple of days ago, I started digging into YouTube and whatever.
Oh
and,
no. Yes. Okay.
And it was. I was just like, it was just like you know, the car, like they say, the proverbial car wreck that you don't want to look at, but you kind of glance at. I didn't realize things were positioned as they were, and that even beyond the mudslinging, that there is true mud, you know, and it would, and I guess that's always the case, but I think this is an election for the history books unlike any other.
It really is.
So,
yeah.
I'm sorry?
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, I'm a little nervous tonight. I don't know why. I think it's maybe because I drank that tea. Anyway, I'm going to read a very, very short poem, and I have one for the After Dark. I don't know if I'll come back for the return engagement. I don't want to impose. Anyway, the name of my poem is No Filters Made Coffee. No filters made coffee with a ring of grounds. Reminded me of Saturn and that I must return. It wasn't that he was completely washed away or frozen, as his son was, the boy with the lime green clothes, but that he was always completely taken the wrong way, left to the undertow to breathe water and ice, cutthroat wielder, dark inventor, harsh prickly exposure to a palpable surname, left to horrific Ferris wheels and a mountain of loose snakes. Thank you.
Very nice, man.
Thank you. That's a true story about my childhood.
Is it really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times my poems are sort of my putting my dysfunctional trauma through a surreal meat grinder, and then I come up with a poem.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's probably the best use for a surreal meat grinder, because I don't want to eat sausage from a surreal surreal meat grinder.
They're hard enough to pronounce, never mind eat
yeah.
from.
That's apparently, right. If you're me, it's really hard to pronounce normal words.
No, I'm not taking a jab at you. I just couldn't resist, you know.
I didn't take it as anything, man. I didn't take it as anything.
Right.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, well, thanks. I really appreciate the time. This poem is... yeah, real short. I realize it really works better, like I was talking the other day, to do short on the radio and leave long for the readers that want to sit at their leisure and read.
Sure. Yeah.
I just think it's just only fair. And, you know, you have to think of allowing, like they say, I don't really drink, I don't like alcohol, but, you know, that you have to allow wine to breathe. I think it's the same thing with, you know, with poems. They have to have their proper space.
There are some stories that are better spoken, and there are definitely stories that are better read. And yeah. I don't think we make that decision. I think that they're kind of made by the work itself.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The work definitely will very clearly dictate it. And it was something that, you know, because I was not used to reading, I was not used to, you know, like you have to do something sometimes to learn. So I really, I was not, you know, how the expression, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So I was not really cognizant of that dictation of the work, you know, until now that I've had the opportunity to read. So it really is a real learning experience for me every time. So
that's wonderful. We're happy to have you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. See you all later. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Marcos. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Bye. So that was Marcos calling from New Jersey and sharing some good stuff. It's great seeing, you know, already very competent and great poets calling in, but then they grow over time from week to week, from episode to episode. It's kind of cool. You could actually go back. It's almost like you could just track it.
Yeah.
If you went back and listened to the first performance, including ours.
Yes.
There's a lot of growth that happens in
there
between.
There is.
I think our worst show now is way better than our first shows.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They are.
They're much, much better. So we have one more caller in this segment. And it's someone that whose work we admire. I have her book sitting right here on the table. It's Lausanne. Lausanne, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for holding.
No worries. I missed you guys for what was like, it's been like 3 weeks or so, but it's wonderful to be back. I really did miss your group and your program.
Oh, it's always a lot of fun to have you. And, you know, we were off last week, and I have to say it really messes with me too.
Oh, my goodness. I know I was in Hawaii, and I tried. My data, my cell phone was acting up. But from Hawaii, I was actually listening to you guys. I was listening to the program live, but I could not contact you.
Oh, well, that's cool. Well, I'm glad to know that someone was in the amazing and lovely weather of Hawaii listening to this show.
And here it's pouring rain, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
As usual.
Well,
I'm jealous, actually, because we haven't had a drop for over a month.
Yeah, so JT really is a fan of colder weather. Actually, we did have rain 2 mornings ago. I walked outside at 5:45 in the morning, and it was raining.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but
in Hawaii, it dribbles, just drizzles. And I told them, guys, are you kidding me? This is not even rain.
Yeah.
Come to Vancouver.
Oh, I have a feeling that if a hurricane goes towards Hawaii, you would experience real rain. So it's
I believe that's true.
But at any rate, JT loves snow, and so he's a little bit grumpy. I think we haven't had a real proper snow yet this year here in Denver. It'll happen.
Oh, my gosh. I hope so.
It will.
Otherwise, come up north. We have lots here in Vancouver. Or not, on the mountain, I guess.
There you always go. Just go to the north. Cross the wall.
Depending on what happens, I might.
Cross the wall.
Actually, yeah, you very well might be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, your in-laws are on a boot.
Yeah,
on
I
a
have
boot.
A strong feeling a lot of friends that I know are going to come here.
Well, it's...
welcome one, welcome all.
Yeah,
we
well, if JT
you
goes...
Know, we have a reputation being nice.
Wait a second. Yeah. What does that mean? I don't know. If you say someone has a reputation for being nice, it gets kind of weird. It's like, do they require donations? Are there the police? Are the police following them?
No, guys, no. Don't get me started, because we also have a problem with pipelines and stuff. But that's a whole different story. It's another program.
All right. Fair enough. Oh.
So I wrote a poem when I was in Hawaii. And, so I'd love to share it with you today.
All right. Love to hear.
And before I start with the poem, I want you to know that my publisher is nominating my book for an award for Excellence in Poetry Award. And I am just thrilled. When I heard the news, my knees were giving up. I mean, even if I don't win, I'm just being nominated. It's such an honor. And it feels wonderful. So I can't wait. My poetry is actually popular.
Congratulations.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you. So this poem I wrote, I titled it, Good Morning, World. Good morning from the island of Oahu, Hawaii. Good morning, sunrise. Good morning, early birds, hardworking people, night workers and school children. Good morning, hope, dreams, and heartfelt prayers. We prayed last night and we'll pray again today and tomorrow. Good morning to those who slept soundly in their home, for those who are far from home, and those who have no home at all. Good morning, tolerance, kindness. Good morning, empathy. Good morning, justice. Oh, how we miss you these days. Good morning, all you cruel, cruel leaders, corrupt politicians, and lowlives who do the bad deeds of those in shiny suits around the world. Those in shiny suits reward you for doing their dirty work. Good morning to you who are hopeless, desperate souls, and you who are caught in the dark world of addiction. Do not give up hope to be free from it all. Good morning, love. Good morning, beauty. Good morning, pure, fresh air we breathe. Good morning, Mother Earth. Please forgive us for neglecting to remember how fragile you are and how much we are hurting you. Good morning, mighty, powerful force of nature. Show us how angry you are, how angry you can be. You are far stronger than the wealthiest, the loudest, the most influential of us all. Dear Gaia, give us another chance to speak up and make this world a safer place for generations to come. We have another day to set it right. So let us all rise and shine. Good morning, world. End poem. Thank you.
I really enjoyed that one.
That was great.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Thank you very much.
Lausanne, thank you so much, and thanks for everything you do for the show. And congratulations again. Congratulations again on the book.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful. And believe it or not, I'm about halfway through finishing a manuscript for the second book already. And wonderful. I'll be sure I'll send you a copy of that, too.
That's wonderful. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me. And I look forward to listening to the rest of the show.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you listen. And send us a message. I'd love to touch base because we still need to get the whole thing with the store worked out in your book. So I need to get we need to get your publisher in contact with us somehow.
Beautiful. I'll do that. I'll talk to them. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye. Bye. All right, and that was Lausanne from British Columbia. All right. You were waiting for me to say something, were you?
Yeah, I was, actually.
It's like Columbia, but British.
Interesting. Okay.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's a, they say, home of a Cockney-accented Pablo Escobar. Sorry, that's terrible.
Wow.
All right. So, you know what? We only had three callers during that segment, which means that actually triggers us into the return engagement.
Four?
We had four. That's right. We had four. Okay. But instead, because we didn't have five, that sends us directly to the return engagement, which means you can call in if you haven't called in yet. Titus, which I know you're in the chat room. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
But everybody else can still call in again as well. So let's go to the return engagement, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. All right, and we're back like a bad pair of underwear that you never really want to wear anymore. There's holes in it and stuff, but sometimes it's the only thing that's clean.
But it's so comfortable.
That's true, it is.
Sorry.
Somehow it ends up being weird, though. I always end up doing this thing where, like, totally unintentionally, and it makes me go, how the hell did I do this? I end up finding that, you know, the hole, the underwear with the hole in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I somehow, like, in the mid, you know, early morning, so I get up early and I'm still kind of groggy and stuff. And as I'm putting on the underwear, I always somehow end up putting my leg through the hole, not the actual leg hole.
Yes, yes.
It's so, and I won't notice until like midway through the day, and I'm surrounded by kids, and I'm like, something's painful. And that's what it is. Guys, my underwear game is not that strong. I have to say, this is kind of upsetting.
Oh.
All right, so we're here in the return engagement, not to be confused with the After Dark segment, which will be coming after this.
After the show.
After the proper show, because After Dark is kind of its own little thing.
It is.
But we have some great poets here, some people who've already called in, including a poet who, there's a poet who hasn't called in yet today, and then a first-time caller who happens to be one of my oldest friends from when I was like 13 years old. Started our first band together, did a lot of work together, and I haven't seen him for years, even though we live in the same city and everything, and looking forward to doing that, but he's calling in. I'm super psyched. But before we get to that, let's go to...
No.
Oh, you're right. You know what, guys?
I forgot.
Thank you for doing this.
The poet's homework.
Man, I know. Okay, so here we go. November, poetic form of the month. Dennis reminded me, and I just keep skirting over this stuff. It shows you my brain. I keep like doing like the, oh, squirrel thing.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I'm just excited. It's okay.
It's okay. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
The poetic form for the month of November is... a tried and true one, limerick.
Ooh.
Because who doesn't want a limerick to lighten the moods this month?
Okay.
So here is the definition from poets.org.
Okay.
A popular form in children's verse, the limerick is often comical, nonsensical, and sometimes even lewd. Say that again. The form is well known to generations of English-speaking readers by way of Mother Goose nursery rhymes, first published in 1791. It's composed of five lines. The limerick adheres to a strict rhyme scheme and a bouncy rhythm, making it easy to memorize. If you want to know what that rhythm sounds like, listen to any reading on the archive of J. Todd Underhill reading a poem. Typically, the first two lines rhyme with each other, the third and fourth rhyme together, and the fifth line either repeats the first line or rhymes with it. The limerick's anapestic rhythm is created by an accentual pattern that contains many sets of double weakly stressed syllables, and the pattern can be illustrated with dashes denoting weak syllables and backslashes for stresses. I'm going to post the link to this on our site under Poetry Form of the Month.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that during this next segment when I get a spare moment, and you'll be able to actually just go to our site, click on Poetic Form of the Month, and you'll see all the information there.
That'd be awesome.
All right, so this month it is Limerick.
Limerick.
All right.
Okay.
So now we're going to go to the poetry.
Yes.
Land of Colonels. When? It's Philip. How are you, sir?
I am fair to middling.
Fair. Okay.
I'm wobbling, you know.
Still wobbling, yes. relatively sober. That's a good sign, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wobbling, and, but it's to a strong beat, so that's okay.
Not calling my lawyer, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Always, yeah, right.
It's always a good place. Yeah. You have a lawyer, that's even better, you know. That's
right, yeah. Well, hey, you know, at least it sounds really impressive. Yeah. And trust me, as a writer, I'm pretty adept at lying. So, you know, that should be your first test. If you cannot lie convincingly, don't pick up a pen. You know, that's test number one.
Very true. Very true.
And I also wanted to give a cheers to Dennis. I really appreciate it when somebody shares another poet, another artist out there. I'm always looking for you know, new sources of inspiration. However, when I looked up, and I'm going to slaughter this name, I know, Pietro Di Giorgio, I only found, I think, an Italian rugby player on Wikipedia. So I'm going to have to, you know, find some way to search out this gentleman's name to find some of his poetry. But I always appreciate it when people, you know, present new works from other people. It's always great to be introduced, you know, to your betters, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it's just me, Philip, but it could be a thing that, you know, it could be the rugby player is the poet, and we just don't like to admit that we might not be great at rugby, and he can still write poetry. It's like, damn it, man!
It's I'm like, a can't bench be warmer. I write poetry while the other dudes tackle each other.
Well, you know, hey, I prefer to stay away from the high school wrestling team myself, but...
Right.
But, you know, have you ever had the thing where you, like, kind of take a lot of confidence in your art, and you're like, well, you know, I write poetry, I do whatever, and then you see someone who's insanely well accomplished, great looking, everything, and they do great work in your art form, and you're like, what are you doing, man? This is my thing.
Maybe when I was in my 20s, I don't even say I'm a writer. I'm just, if anybody has any interest, they get any hint, I just hand them a piece and say, you know, read it, like it, don't like it. You know, I do my best to just let the work. I know you're being humorous, but I honestly anymore, I'm like, you know, if the work doesn't speak for itself, then I failed, and that's fine. And those are the terms that I can agree with.
So, you know, I agree. I agree with you, actually. I think that's right.
Yeah,
I
don't even worry about that stuff anymore. So,
for sure.
But,
I
also wanted to ask very briefly, a clumsy segue, how's the Hamlet production going?
Oh. You know, well, we actually had it last week, and the kids absolutely killed it, and they did an amazing job, and I'm very, very proud of them. It's the only drama class I've ever had where everybody walked out with over a 94%.
Wow.
It was really something. And as a teacher, it's great to be able to go sit in the audience and watch them perform the play without needing me involved at all.
That's great. And how much of the play, like, roughly did you do? I mean, I presume you didn't do
because they were eighth grade kids. So we did an adaptation that I wrote several years ago. It still runs around an hour long. And so a lot of it, the dialogue's the same, because Hamlet, you can't pull much out of that thing because it's so tightly done and still well written. But it was an adaptation, but they did a great job and, you know, packed house and everything. So it went great. Thanks for asking.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for sharing. And Hamlet is always one of my favorite plays, even though in my mind, secretly, I always think when people say Shakespeare, I always think of an infinite number of monkeys with an infinite number of typewriters. I mean, it's that sort of association. Eventually, you'll get Shakespeare, right?
That's what they said, but I got to tell you, man, ever since adopting all those damn monkeys and giving them typewriters, I haven't had one good poem. Not one goddamn poem.
You need a different kind of monkey, my friend. So,
yeah, maybe those capuchins are too preoccupied.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, sorry, go ahead, buddy.
All right. Well, as a fellow simian, I will do my best to share one of my more lengthier poems, since I read such a shorter poem earlier. So we're going to get things back on track here. And here we go. A title, Way Stations for Consciousness, or Contraband, taken from sundry journal entries. And here we go. Every day I awaken to this transitory body dressed in a deplorable lack of fashion, ragged coats and earthy corduroys. Mentally ill, I've misplaced days and seasons. No distinctions between night and cognizance. Aging into inarticulate speech. My mouth like sea froth and spume slush, but the waves endure more than words, more steadfast than these cavity-worn teeth that will eventually quit me and someday sit in a cup. Mystery and silence finally wreathed around my idle tongue. In youth, I picked up pens to quell my stubborn loins, quill a little meaning from possible crimes envisioned that beckoned from hollowness. Surrounded by shadows where weary paths end and rational arguments conclude, longing for the secret confusion that blossomed in childhood. Even uncertain about prepositions, never quite knowing whether I stand sensibly upon objective reality or float mesmerically inside holographs, perception extended into being. After all that I quest, it's little wonder my lines of aegis look ugly, blunt weapons used in unwieldy dissection. All that's bent, grotesque, and pretty inside my petty, mortal cranium. Wondrous the malleable lies that become whatever we desire. Love and hate residing in one. Lumbering, dumb animal I am, treading nomadic among unknowns. And there it is, my friends.
Enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Thank
it.
You so much.
All right.
Always a pleasure to have it. Philip, and you, I can't think of anybody better to lead this segment off, so thanks
so
much.
Oh, well, you're making me blush now, sir. happy to do so. Always happy to be here, and thank you so much for having me back on, doing a great show. You guys really, I know you guys bust your ass to do this, and it means the world to me. So.
Well, that's what I keep telling people as to why I have no ass. So, you know.
It's because of all that yoga you do, dude.
It's all that yoga, man.
I know. You're taught like a tiger, you know?
I spent my weekend getting taught.
We're getting warmed up for the after dark. Let's not get too flirty yet. Got to wait until the next segment.
Hey, we call to some people after, you know, to some people return engagements just foreplay. That's another word.
Right. Well, that's the way I always look at it, sir. Okay. So, all right. Cheers.
Cheers. We'll talk to you later, Philip. Thank you.
All right.
And the award goes to Philip for being the first person to use the word "taught" on the show.
You know what?
That's a great word, though.
It is. Taught.
It's a great word. Yeah. Why don't we use the word "taught" more?
Well, we do in the past tense of teach.
Yeah, not the same way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. My grammar is horrible, by the way.
Well, I would not. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pronounced the same way. I don't know why I'm speaking in that accent. Anyway, all right. Let's go to someone who's going to save us.
Yes.
let's go to Chris from Lansing. Hello, Chris.
T-A-U-T?
Yes, T-A-U-T.
Yeah, T-A-W-T.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That's true.
You know, I once knew a man from Nantucket, and he always carried a bucket. While he went about town, he seldom frowned. When asked why, he'd just smile and say, "Psst, rhymes with bucket."
That's great. Thank you, Chris.
Oh. A faux dirty limerick. Yes.
Yeah, why wait? Oh, God, guys.
So what do you have for us this time?
It's called A Yesterday and Morning's Coffee. It is but a memory now passed from the real, an illusion of wonder and wish. And yet, 'twas so softly held tight within mind, fingers' tips, and eyes not so gentle grasp. Each moment's wistful smiles gently teasing the tongue's whim with the taste of heat's caress, till heart's fullness flows with each beat's stoking dreams. Deep, so deep release. Moments never and yet ever, again and again throughout who we are, all and each. We come with the light, breathe in the dark, move without shadow's pause. We, each of us, hold to the rhythm of wants, forever need and reach for all we seek beneath the silence of our stars. The end. Mm.
Short but powerful. Wow. It's always such a pleasure to hear the work. Thanks, Chris.
I appreciate it, guys, and I appreciate you. And when the After Dark comes on, it should get interesting.
Yes, it should.
All right, I've got my tinfoil hat to keep it from getting too interesting.
Oh, watch out for when it melts, man. Your ears are going to get red.
More so than they are. All right, hey, thanks so much, Chris.
Take care, guys.
Hey, you too. All right, and that was Chris calling from Lansing, bringing it as always. Michigan is, you know, I want to be careful what I say because I don't want to, like, offend anybody. So I mean this in the best way. And, hey, I'm a Bronco fan, so you got to understand where it's taking for me to say this.
Okay.
They're like the New England Patriots without the deflating the balls thing.
Right.
Of poetry. It's like they're just a strong showing every time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just consistent. Consistently okay. Great.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. See, and if JT can take that and not qualify and start going off about deflate gate, now we know it's good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go all the way to California to another favorite of ours, Mr. Don Hagelberg. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Now, I hear you're feeling a little under the weather.
Under the weather?
Or sick.
I'm the type of person who, when I hear the word Hamlet, I think a kosher type of guy.
You know, I actually had some kids, when we said we were going to do Hamlet, ask me if they could do it as barnyard animals.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That's exactly my response.
Chortle.
So what do you have for us this time?
This is a rewrite. And it's a poem titled Hotel Poor, and it's in memory of Eugene Ruggles. Pensioners and collegians, one block from campus, engage or withdraw from talk and time. The old with whole pants, the young with holes in the knees of their praying jeans. They mix on the checkerboarded floor of the lobby. Video cameras stare and roll. Trespassers and truants break glass broken and paint graffiti letters. An old tenant fingers his one and only song on the piano while one student sneakers out on muted strings. The youngster rubs his legs like cocked notes, coloring the pensioner's anger gray. In the breeze between the pensioner and student, the piano bills fortissimo, loud enough to shatter ears. The student caffeinates the pensioner's pain. His old body swivels up, allowing him to lean on his aluminium cane. The student caffeinates the pensioner's pain. His old body swivels up, allowing him to lean on his aluminium cane.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. Don, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, it'll go through a couple more rewrites. There's some hanging chads there, and, you know, it's not in a good, what do they call it, election without
yes,
without getting rid of those hanging chads.
Yes.
Chads.
Understood. Well, thank you very much, and we're really happy you called in. It's always it always makes us smile when we see you calling in. We know it's going to be great work.
And I will try to get in contact with a veteran friend of mine who is in a writing class and workshops his poems.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So hopefully that will be on. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. That'll be great.
Wow. Yeah, I think, you know, anything that people can do to help spread the word, and it's really not just about this show here. We're actually very happy to promote other poetry communities and things like that. And that's something that I really want to start seeing us do a lot more, is not just have this show be the end of it. I'd like to start really pushing other poetry venues, because I think that's really important also.
Yeah.
All right, so coming off that, let's go to another just unbelievably strong poet. Let's go to, he was the one who led off the show, Dennis from Michigan. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I am, for the return engagement.
That's right. We haven't even used the clip yet, so we'll have to find a way to work that in.
All right.
So well, what do you have for us this time?
Yeah, I return once again. I'm going to read a poem by my friend and mentor, Pietro Di Giorgio. And his work can be found on Amazon if somebody wanted to look that up. But the poem I want to read for you now, the title is Transitional Skepticism. Oh, my companions, we were happier as wooden puppet clones, dancing to the tunes of Father Geppetto, back when innocence was the air we breathed, in an atmosphere so magical we could absorb only small gulps in shady corners of our world. Now, we have become human, eating lies with every meal, sadness with every sundown, looking in vain for Geppetto's cottage to escape the speed of clocks. Flesh dolls dance to rancid tunes, ascending rocky hills of sensation to audition for the role of Kong, while the cat and fox count coin, now puppet masters without hearts. Tomorrow, we shall gather in caves to learn secret incantations, conjuring the good witch of the East, the beautiful and protective Glinda, who can be persuaded to make us wooden again. We will build cottages then to house us all, the loving Father who carved us, returning to read the sadness in our faces. He will take the wrinkles out, fix our broken parts, sand and repaint our scrapes. It is the only thing he was born to do, a lifetime of work for a parent as old as the mountains. He will be delighted in his creations, playing with us by ancient rivers, accepting our awkwardness in a valley full of cottages and wonder. The end.
Dennis, I really enjoyed that one. Thank you so much.
Yeah, he wrote so much. What a variety of topics. He was a philosopher as well as a poet, and he thought deep thoughts, and he shared his searchings through poetry. He did so eloquently, and it was a pleasure to be his friend and to share in his poetry and in his life in a brief way. But he's such an inspiration to me and will continue to be as long as I write.
You know, Dennis, his work lives on. I mean, this is a great example. And I hope that more and more people continue to share it, just as I'm sure they'll share yours. So thank you, Dennis.
Well, thank you. And God bless you all.
Bless you too, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you, Dennis. That was Dennis all the way from Inside the Mitten. Maybe that's what we could call it. We could do a show of nothing but Michigan poets and Inside the Mitten. Or in the...
Yeah, but what about the Upper Peninsula? Wow, I almost
the tips,
didn't.
The tips of the finger. It's fingertips.
But it doesn't...
The pointer.
It's weird. Okay. The other hand.
Yeah. Oh, we could do that. Could be interesting. All right. So.
Sorry, that was a little.
Now, I'd like to have on the show, go ahead and hit it whenever you're ready, JT.
Okay.
I'd like to have on the show, the next guest here is a guy that I've known since I was 13 years old. This guy has more crap on me. He knows more shit about me. And I just, than basically anybody else on the show. So I'm going to try to treat him nicely. Hey, this is Mike Purcell. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm good. I'll refrain from sharing anything about you personally.
That's nice to hear. Thanks for that.
Just call back after the show, and you can talk to me and tell me everything.
Nice.
Oh, long-time fan. You guys are great.
Hey, thank you, man. How you doing, man? So for the people who are listening, I know I mentioned it earlier. Mike and I like really started our first band together, didn't we? Like way back in the day.
Oh yeah, no, it was. I mean, as far as my life goes, it's my first band.
I mean, I had some stuff beforehand, but I think really any trajectory that I started afterwards kind of came from you and I playing together back in middle school.
Oh yeah. Yeah, back 13, 14 years old, just kind of like, you know, honestly, when I was on hold, I was thinking about, like, you know what? I should probably just go over to the studio with, like, a 12-pack of Squirt and, like, a big, like, au gratin potato chips. Just like, have a sleepover with Mike Amade.
that's essentially, I think that was what sustained us overnights, because we would do the thing where we'd get together. And we'd record music all night long. So most kids play video games and stuff. Yeah. And I think we would just record music.
Okay.
And then eat, you know, au gratin potato chips, basically.
And drink Squirt, huh?
And drink Squirt. I don't remember consuming a lot of Squirt myself, but I'm sure I did at least a little bit.
Squirt is more of a metaphor, I guess. It's more of like just sugary drinks and
gotcha.
You know, like,
yeah, for sure.
You know. Playing on your Roland
JW50. Yeah, that's right, man. Well, hey, we'll have to do a separate conversation. I don't want to bore the hell out of all the other poets, but you and I could go on forever, man. So I know you have something you're reading from a group you were in before, right? Or whatever. Yeah. I'm just going to give you the floor, man, and I'll step back.
Okay, well, this is just a little poem I wrote based on a very sludgy metal project that I had a few years ago. And I would just like to read it for you, but I'm going to do it in the style that I recorded it on the album, which is kind of like, I don't know if anyone out there is interested in like throat singing or Tibetan throat singing or anything.
I totally am. It's cool stuff.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but anyway, like, I'll just go ahead and do it. All right, here we go. Blacksmith, you're the last to die. You keep the machine alive. Commoner, you're the first to die. You feed them fire with your life. Universe, you will never die. The machine and the fire.
And that's it. It's a short little piece that, it's a short little piece. We're all going to die, folks.
Well,
we're all going to die someday, and that's fine.
You know what? That is fine. That's right. Absolutely. I have to tell you, I started laughing when you were doing it, like just such joy of realizing we were putting that on the air with you doing it, man. That's just like, this is totally what you and I used to do back then. And if we had a radio show then, like, we would have been doing the same thing. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy you called in.
You know, it's like the darkness has a certain amount of joy to it. And also, the fact that our lives are so finite and everything, like, that's okay, man. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Have fun and whatever happens, happens. It's up to nature. So
that's
kind of like the point of this particular, this was just a song that I had that I felt I needed to put some lyrics over. And I felt that I needed to put some lyrics that were just saying that, we're all going to die. It's fine. Try to have some fun, folks.
I mean, that's great.
I love you guys. Love you guys' show. And great to, I am very honored to be on the show. Mike.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Hey, man, I'm so happy you called. And I want to get together with you really, really soon. We got plenty of work to do. We got a lot of stuff to put out in the world.
Oh, yeah, bud.
All right, man.
Sorry.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for calling. You're the man.
Swine Demon Band, one word on YouTube. Thank
All right,
you.
Buddy. Thank you. All right, you heard that. Slime Demon Band was the name of the doom metal band, and sludge metal, I think is how he said it, that did the song there. In fact, I'll even post it up or something. But it's totally unique. That was great.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with that. All right, so let's go to something completely different. Let's head to Lausanne. Lausanne, how are you going to follow that one?
I thought it was amazing. I've heard of it. It's some sort of a Tibetan
Yeah.
Soothing kind of therapeutic thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, you know, yeah,
because he talks about death, I freaked out a little bit.
Well, you know, and Mike, yeah, just a little bit. But you know, Mike Purcell is a, you know, he's a really intuitive guy, and he uses humor a lot, but he's got a lot of depth to him. And I think that's part of what the music's like, but he's an amazing musician as well. I mean, really somebody. Gosh. So
that really caught me off. Like, wow, I thought you guys, something happened with your system for a second. I turned around like, whoa, is that the vocal? I've heard of it because I've tried all the meditation, singing bowls and the Tibetan way. And then I found out about the vocal one. I forgot the name of it, but they do the humming and and they go on and it's amazing. It's pretty powerful. Thank you for sharing. I loved it.
Well, of course. I'm so glad that he called in.
Yeah. So totally away from the Tibet. I'm going to take you to Iraq now.
That's fine.
Wonderful.
That's cool. This poem I wrote a few years ago about my Nana, my grandma, we called her Nana. This poem called Forgotten Stories. And I just want to explain to you one word. In Iraq, women usually wear a big black cloth that goes over their forehead, just above their forehead, and it covers them all the way to the feet, and only their hand sticks out. And it's almost like an open rope, but it's over the head, and it's called abaya.
Okay.
So in this poem, you hear the word abaya, so you know what it is. It's the one that some women don't go outside without it. It's not just a religious thing, but it's just a cultural thing, and some women wear it. So can I share the poem with you?
Absolutely, please.
Okay, so it's an honor of my grandmother. She was an amazing woman. It's called Forgotten Stories. She told us stories, she told us few. All were old, none were new. She told us stories from her heart. Her company, we wouldn't depart. She told and retold our bellies to the floor. We listened as though we hadn't heard it before. Stories were of sadness, fright, and despair. All ended triumphantly with joy in the air. Maybe I was too young to count the ones she told. Maybe all I wanted was her comforting presence to behold. Whether lights switched on, candlelit, or in the dark, stories she told us with so much compassion truly moved our hearts. She was always busy. Our house was always clean. She was never too busy to listen to our dreams. We ran shouting her name to the end of the street. The joy of expecting her was always a treat. Without her abaya and slippers, she'd never go outside. We always hide her abaya to keep her longer by our side. Tears flowed whenever she laughed. When father got mad, she was our raft. She told us many stories and testaments of strong faith, taught us to deepen it well within and never leave room for hate. Stories of courage in peasants' humble prayers, mighty kings lost all their might because of dwindling layers. I've forgotten all her stories, with the exception of one. I try to recall more, but alas, I can find none. I know within the folds of my beating heart, inscription of her stories created the love's sweet spark. Her stories I may not be able to fully recall, but memories of her telling them are not forgotten at all. Nana, larger than life you are to me. Empowered by you, I am here, I am free. No longer you are here with us, you have left this earth. By your humble soul engraved love in us from the moment of birth. I carry your essence with me wherever I go, because your love and kindness are deep within me, I know. End poem. Thank you.
Well, Sam, that was great. As always, thank you so much. And you know, your voice, there's something going on with you know, Vancouver, British Columbia, and all that. It's just, everybody's voices up there just
calm me down so much. And I'm actually pretty intense most of the time. So that's saying something. Lausanne, thank you so much. And the read was wonderful.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I love your show. I really do love your show. And thank you for having me. And I can't wait to share again.
All right. We can't wait to have you again. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a good night.
All right. You as well. Bye. Wow. So that was Lausanne from British Columbia wrapping up the return engagement. So this is the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper. From World Poetry Open Mic, we hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening.